Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. This is a conversation we called The Art of Togethering. Right now, you're listening to the sound of professional tap dancers Anna Esposito and Drew Geck improvise with pianist Zach Studdiford. You'll hear Anna say a little bit about how the art of dance has been instrumental in togethering in her life. She and Drew proceeded to use tap to help those of us gathered at Minnehaha Regional Park connect with each other. Here's just a taste of that morning. I hope you enjoy.
I'm Anna Esposito, and this is my great friend, tap dancing duet partner, and roommate, Drew Geck. So we spend a lot of time together tap dancing, talking, all that jazz. When I tell people I'm a professional tap dancer, I usually get one of three responses. The first being like, oh my God, that's so cute. I used to take tap when I was a little kid and like, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, great. Awesome. I'm glad you took tap dance. The second being like, oh, so like this? And I'm like, this is a little more technical than that, but sure. And the third response I sometimes get is, I had no idea professional tap dancers still existed. Like, people don't know that tap dance is still super alive and well. They have this image in their head of like, you know, Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly or Singing in the Rain or like a top hat and a cane. And tap dance is so much more than that. And so I love getting to tell people about tap dance and why I fell in love with it and why I do it now today. The first thing I always have to say about tap dance is that it is a Black art form and it is actually an American art form. And there's not a lot of American art forms that we have, especially in dance. Like, for example, ballet is a European art form. We didn't make that up. So it's really cool to have an art form that was created in the United States. The origins of tap dance started were when slaves were actually brought over to the United States. Oftentimes communities and friends and families were separated and they had drums that they would use to communicate across the plantations. And so there were rhythms that they said that meant something to each other. And when the slave owners found that out, they took away their drums. And so the rhythms that they used to communicate were put into their bodies. And that is kind of how tap dancing as we know it started, which I think is a really cool thing, that it's a form of communication. And what we were doing right now was us talking with our tap shoes. And it's really funny because we were practicing we were making this up as we go. We were improvising, which is just like when we talk to people, right? And sometimes it doesn't go so great. We miss a step or we miss a sound, but we get back on and we're there for each other and we're listening to each other and we're helping each other. And that's what really drew me to tap dance, was the community and the people and how we connected one another through not only the dance, but through the music. Because tap dancers have this really cool lifestyle of having kind of one foot in the tap world or the dance world and one foot in the music world. So we get a great chance to connect and collaborate with musicians often because we're making music with our feet as well. And that's why we brought Zach up to kind of show that that is one way that tap dance conversations can happen with people speaking a slightly different language than tap dance, but not too far off that we can't understand one another. So I started tap dancing kind of later in life. So this is my shameless plug. If you want to try something, even as an adult, don't be afraid to be a beginner and try something that interests you and excites you. Because I would have never found this great journey of tap dance if I hadn't gone for it as an older person. And I was fortunate enough to meet and connect with some amazing tap dancers and a professional tap company called Keen Sense of Rhythm. And I've gotten the wonderful opportunity to travel with them all across the country and all across the world. And a story I wanted to share about those experiences was we had the opportunity to go to Europe a couple years ago. And the itinerary was pretty long. And there were some really cool cities like London and like Barcelona and Prague. And I was really excited about those cities. But one of the stops on the tour was this tiny town in Poland. Like, I'm talking middle of nowhere. Like, I had never heard of it. I couldn't find it on a map. I was like, why are we going here? I just want to go to Barcelona and, like, sit on the beach. Like, I had no idea why we were going to this town in Poland. But this town in Poland every year hosts a dance festival. And it's not just tap dance. It's all kinds of dance. And people from the community, not professional dancers, come and take classes in all styles of dance together. And these are just people that want to learn how to dance. So the classes are all level. They're not super advanced, but me as a professional dancer had a blast. There are different styles like Bollywood. I learned how to salsa in Poland, which people also have a really weird reaction to. Like, why did you learn how to salsa dance in Poland and not like, I don't know, like South America or something? And I'm like, it's a truly international dance festival. And these classes were taught by people from all over the world. And so a lot of these people didn't speak English as their first language. And so we were kind of worried going into class because we weren't sure how they were going to be taught, or when we were teaching, because we were brought in to perform and teach as well, that people would be able to understand us. And what I learned from that trip is that the language of dance is universal. We didn't have to speak the same language to learn dance from each other and to dance together. So we took these classes entirely in Polish, and we were able, through their bodies and through their movements and through their expressions, to be able to understand them, which was like the coolest thing. And of course, we picked up some Polish. Like, I know that prawa is right and lewa is left, because you kind of got to figure that out pretty quick, like right foot, left foot. Otherwise, you're going the wrong way. You're like hitting into people. So you picked up a few things pretty quick, but it was just this amazing thing that we didn't have to speak the same language to speak together. And another example of that in tap dance is we have a dance called the Shim Sham, which is kind of known as the tap dance national anthem. So once you start learning how to tap dance wherever you are in the world, you usually learn the Shim Sham pretty soon after. And so I've gotten the opportunity to go to festivals in many states here, like I said, internationally, and I've met so many people that already know how to do the Shim Sham. And the Shim Sham was written almost 100 years ago by a man named Leonard Reed and a man named Willie Bryant. And it quickly became a tradition to end all these shows on vaudeville and in New York with the Shim Sham, because everyone knew how to do it and it was taught. And it became, yes, the the national anthem of tap dance. And so even when we travel as our company and we meet people, other tap dancers, we might be bringing our own material to this festival, or we might be doing our own solos, but at the end, we all get to come together and dance the Shim Sham because we all know how to do it. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing, and it's so powerful to get to dance with other people, and especially other people that you haven't necessarily met and you don't have a lot in common with, but you have the dance in common, and you speak that language together.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.